So today we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, our feast day. The Holy Spirit, who's been given to us as a friend, a companion, one who equips us beyond our own resources, one who makes us one with each other, and the one who gives us gifts. So when I think of the gifts that we are given by the Holy Spirit, there are two areas that I have been working on in my life for a long time that I am not gifted in. And that is taking care of animals and gardening, right? So don't judge me, but you know, animals just don't seem to survive with me caring for them, right? The birds didn't make it, the turtles, the frogs, the rabbits, the fish, the snake, no matter how hard I tried to take care of them. And you have tried to help me. Many of you have tried to help me. You've sent me books and emails and messages, and I love that. So thank you for doing that. Keep that coming. But recently, a parishioner put out a request in Caring Connection for someone to take care of her cat. I just deleted the email. Sometimes I have nightmares, right, of going to heaven, and then there's this line of animals there to greet me, and they're like, hey, remember me? So don't ask me to house-sit your animals. But I haven't had much better luck with plants, right? Sometimes I think I'm the only one that can go to the store, get a full-blown plant, and have it die within 30 days. Right? But I'm looking to change that this year, right? So I went to my sister and I asked her for some plants because she has an amazing green thumb. She gave me four beautiful plants, you know, they were wonderful, all full and grown, and you know, I took them home and I watered them like she told me, and I did what she told me to do, and after about 4 months, they started to die. The leaves started turning yellow, they're falling off, and so I called her right away, and I said, what do I do? Like, I did everything. I even put them out in the sun, and she said, well, go check the soil. And so I checked the soil, and sure enough, it had rained the night before, and the soil was absolutely soaked, so she told me to take it out, and I did what she told me, and I waited, and I prayed, and I talked to those plants. I begged them, please come back. And to my surprise, you know, after waiting several months, they started to slowly come back, these plants. And today, for the first time in my life, right, I have plants in my house that are flourishing. They are green and they are full and they are amazing. So this resurrection of my plants was exactly what I needed for hope. And in the gospel today, Jesus appears to the disciples after his resurrection, and he gives them hope because they too are struggling. They're scared, they're broken, their hearts are broken, they're disoriented, they're uncertain about their future until he appears. They are stifled by their fear behind locked doors, these locked doors of fear, and his appearance gives them hope and assures them that death does not have the final say, but that life does. And so he shows them the scars on his hands and his side to confirm the horrible events that they witnessed just a few days before as he comes to help them and help us to let go of their fears, to come from behind their locked doors, and to live in a place of victory over the darkness. Right? Because there is work to do. Jesus says, as God sends me, so I send you, especially in the darkness. So to help them do that, Jesus does two things, right? He greets them with peace be with you, and he breathes on them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you, Jesus says. Now this would have been a common greeting in Jesus' day, a blessing prayer, right? Where you would be asking God to bring goodness in every aspect of that person's life when you greet them, right? But if you're the disciples or us and life seems to be falling apart, how do you believe in goodness when everything is falling apart around you? How do you do that? How do you believe in that goodness? Anthony Ray Hinton, you may remember, was a young man who Spiritus met on our race convoy trip in 2017. And he was wrongly accused of a crime that he didn't commit, and he was imprisoned for 30 years and placed on death row. Well, he wrote a book entitled The Sun Does Shine. And he said this in the book. He says, when it seems like the whole world thinks you're bad, it's hard to hang on to your goodness. It's hard to hang on to your goodness. And yet, he manages to do that, he says, because of his faith, right, and the peace of Jesus that sustained him for 30 years. And so this peace that Jesus is offering today is more than the absence of problems or the freedom from persecution or a world that is calm and without any problems at all. It's a peace that reminds us of the goodness of God inside of us and inside of others, regardless of what life throws at you. There is a story of a man who was seeking the perfect picture of peace. And so he couldn't find it, and so he said, I know what I'll do. I will announce a contest to produce a masterpiece of peace. And so artists and painters from all over the world came to participate in this contest. And finally, the day came to unveil the winning picture. And so as judges went by one at a time, uncovering each piece to the cheers and applause of the crowd, and the tensions grew, finally there were only two pictures that remained. The first was a mirror, smooth, picturesque lake. It had green, beautiful birch trees under the soft blush of an evening sky. And along the grassy shore, there was a flock of sheep just grazing, completely undisturbed. And the man thought, is this the winner? But then they unveiled the final painting, and a hush fell over the crowd. The final painting was a picture of a tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. There were stormy gray clouds threatening to explode with lightning and wind and rain. In the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, there was a spindly tree that clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls, with its branches reaching out in front of these torrential waters. But on the elbow of the branch, there sat a little bird that had built her nest, and she was resting on her eggs. Her eyes were closed and her wings were spread, covering her little ones, and she was content and completely undisturbed by her stormy surroundings, manifesting a peace that transcended all earthly turmoil. Ah, said the man, this is the peace that I seek. He experienced the peace that Paul talks about when he writes to the church at Philippi. When Paul writes, I give you the peace of God, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, that will guard your hearts and your mind in union with Christ Jesus. And so this peace that Jesus comes to offer us today in this gospel and the disciples, it's a guiding peace, a navigating peace, a confidence that he is always there with us through the storms and the torrential waters of life. This is the peace that he gives us. And so when we say to one another that all is well, all is not well because we can control the outcomes, but all is well because Jesus is in it with us and that he knows, like nobody else, how to navigate the storms of life. And so the invitation in the gospel today is for us to simply turn it over. Turn it over to him and let that peace be in us wherever we are right now. The second thing that Jesus does is that he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And he tells them, whosoever sins you forgive are forgiven, whosoever sins you retain are retained. And so this weekend, as we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the giving and the working of the Spirit of Christ, our feast day, Jesus gives the Spirit to the disciples to assist them in their work, just as he gives it to us to assist us in our work. Right? And when they received the Spirit, it gave them power, power to overcome their fears. It reminded them of Jesus' words. It led and guided them wherever it was that God was sending them to do their transformative work in the world. And they would be called on to not only bear witness in their own hometown where they were familiar with people, but they would be sent out to the uttermost parts of the world where they didn't know people, where places were strange to them, right? Where they'd be called to touch the lives and bring God's love to the lost, to the forgotten, those who feel left out, and those who are living on the margins, wondering, does God love me? And this, my friends, is where the Spirit does its best work. It is in these places when you are receiving the grace of the presence and the movement of the Spirit that you know that it was nobody but God. Amen? So as we celebrate Spiritus Christi, the Spirit of Christ, we too can trace the hand of the Spirit moving among us in this parish, in the work that you've done for over 21 years. When we left Corpus Christi in 1998, we didn't know where the Spirit would be leading us. We had no idea what was in store for us. But we knew that the Spirit was working in the people of God, and that we had to do our best to follow Jesus' radical message of unconditional love, even if it cost us our jobs or relationships that were important, or security. And so as the institutional church doubled down on women on the altar, shut down conversations on women's ordination, resisted marriage equality for LGBTQ community, and required that we not welcome everybody to communion, we knew we were being carried by the breath of the Spirit to stand up, to say, no, we will not be doing that. And so today on our feast day, we celebrate all the ways that the Holy Spirit has continued to breathe on us thanks to your faithfulness and your commitment in the work that you've done in 21 years. And so she has breathed on us in the work in our mental health center by providing consultation and counseling and medication to 300 people this year and providing community outreach to young men in jail and assisting those in our living room peer support group. She has worked through the 25 volunteers and staff who touched the lives of 10 live-in men this year. We served in Grace of God Recovery House, and the additional men and women and families that we've served in the larger community who continue to consult us and join us in community meetings. The Spirit has worked through volunteers and staff in our prison outreach ministry this year that has provided for 50 women at Jennifer House and 70 men at Nielsen House, and has visited over 500 people in jail and prison, and created partnerships for housing for them with home leasing and the Housing Authority, not only at Voters Block and Frederick Douglass, but at Charlotte Square and Thurston Road. And they've accomplished an amazing goal of having 85% of the ministry's alumni being successful in avoiding reincarceration on new convictions. That is a move of the Spirit. We felt the Spirit moving in our religious ed program this year as staff and volunteers taught 90 wonderful children. 22 of them received First Communion, 10 First Reconciliation, and 20 Confirmation, along with serving more than 70 youth in our youth programs this year, who then go out and serve the larger community through service projects and mission trips. But the Spirit didn't stop there. She continued working through our mission in Chiapas in Haiti. Our mission work in Chiapas this year through the pilgrimage connections with families and coffee growers and mushroom farmers and the Las Becas Scholarship helped fund education for children. And in Haiti, the Spirit has provided better healthcare outcomes for our friends and families in Haiti and forged some amazing connections with the people there. And that's because there is no capacity limit with the Spirit. She has worked this year in our literacy programs, Speaking from the Heart, which meets twice a month, our Refugee Literacy Project, befriending and assisting refugees to learn the English language, our Buddy Readers Ministry, where 50 volunteers help kids every Monday read, learn to read, and bring their reading levels up and forge relationships with them. And I've seen the Spirit moving in the work of Spark this year to address racism, to work on installing a civil rights park, to set up a Black community focus fund and one for 605. I've seen the Spirit in our adoptive families in the work that you did in serving 125 families this year, the work to secure farm workers' rights. And I've seen the Spirit move in the lives of 18 wedding couples, 27 babies, 28 babies after today, 54 funerals this year, as well as our investment in our young adult ministry. At the first Mass, a young adult Mass a week ago or so, there were 25 young adults in attendance. They did the music, they were our band, they were our singers, they lectured, they were Eucharistic ministers, they preached. It was an amazing move of the Spirit. But not only, Spiritists, did you allow the Spirit to move through you this year in these amazing ministries, but you've extended your reach and the reach of the Holy Spirit to touch those who are viewed by our society as the least, the lost, the forgotten, and marginalized. And these were the people that Jesus was sending the disciples to and that he continues to send us to as well. And so I want you to know that through your work, you have pleasured the heart of God by letting those that you have been working with this year know that they are loved, that they matter to God, that Jesus, when he reminds the disciples at the end of this gospel, he says to them, "You have the power to bring the message of God's liberating forgiveness or retention of people's sins by the way in which you present this Spirit that you are gifted with." And they discover what we've discovered, which is that the Holy Spirit is a liberating spirit, not a retention spirit. It's one that wants to set those who are captive free. Woodrow Wilson once said this. He said, "Liberty never comes from the government. Liberty always comes from the subjects of it. The history of liberty is a history of resistance." And so as you have allowed the Spirit to move, you have worked with the Spirit to resist the ways that the world sees the most vulnerable. And like the disciples, the Spirit has taught us to see the world the way that Jesus sees it: holy, worthy, loved, and in need of God's liberating work. And so Spiritus Christi, like the disciples, were sent out by Jesus. Keep unlocking the world's locked doors of fear by proclaiming God's liberating heart of love, because it is a love that forgives, a love that frees us, a love that offers new beginnings, a new life. And that is the power of the Spirit, then and now. Happy Pentecost, Spiritus Christi.